This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. lawmakers reached an agreement Tuesday to send as much as $14 billion in humanitarian and military assistance to Ukraine. The bipartisan effort to confront Russia's unprovoked invasion of the independent Eastern European nation follows congressional support for U.S. President Joe Biden's announcement he will ban Russian energy imports into the U.S. Again, striking harder at the Russian economy, President Biden Tuesday ordered the ban on the Russian oil imports in retaliation for Russian President Vladimir Putin's onslaught on Ukraine. The major trade action responding to the pleas of Ukraine's embattled leader thrusts the U.S. out from in front as Western nations seek to halt Putin's invasion. Americans will feel pain as well at the gas pump. Biden acknowledged declaring defending freedom is going to cost. The imports have been a glaring omission in the massive sanctions put in place on Russia over the invasion. Energy exports have been kept steady in a stream of cash flowing to Russia despite otherwise severe restrictions on its financial sector. Biden said the U.S. was acting in close consultation with European allies who are more dependent on Russian energy supplies and who acknowledged may not be able to join in immediately. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is wrapping up a short tour of the three Baltic states aimed at reassuring the former Soviet republics that NATO will guarantee their security as Russia's war with Ukraine rolls on unabated. Blinken met senior Estonian officials on Tuesday, a day after hearing appeals from both Lithuania and Latvia for more support and greater U.S. and NATO troop presence to deter a feared Russian intervention. As the war in Ukraine rages, leaders in all three Baltic states have expressed grave concerns about Russian President Vladimir Putin. This is VOA News. An expert group convened by the World Health Organization said it strongly supports urgent and broad access to coronavirus vaccines, including booster doses. The call caps a reversal from the UN Health Agency's previous insistence that booster doses were not, yes, necessary for healthy people and contributed to vaccine inequity. In a statement on Tuesday, the WHO said its expert group concluded that immunization with authorized COVID-19 vaccines provided high levels of protection against severe disease and death amid the global circulation of the hugely contagious Omicron variant. Last year, WHO's Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus called for a moratorium on booster doses, pleading with rich countries to donate their vaccines instead. South Koreans are now choosing a new president in a bitter election that has aggravated domestic divisions. A ruling party candidate, Lee Jae-myung, and a conservative former prosecutor, Yoon Suk-yeol, have been running neck and neck, far ahead of other candidates in pre-election surveys. The winner takes office in May to lead for the next 5 years. Lee and Yoon both recently agreed they would not conduct politically motivated investigations against one another if they won. Voters have been skeptical about how both would handle international relations, economic inequality, and runaway housing prices. Masked voters lined up at polling places and used gloves and hand sanitizer when they cast their ballots. The last hour of voting Wednesday evening was designated for people infected with the coronavirus. A juror told a judge Tuesday that failing to disclose his child abuse history during jury selection at the trial of British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was one of the biggest mistakes of his life, but an unintentional one. He said that he didn't lie. A U.S. judge questioned the juror extensively as part of an effort to decide whether the revelation about his personal history as a sex abuse survivor will spoil the verdict in the sex trafficking trial. Lawyers for Maxwell, who was present in the courtroom clad in a dark blue jail smock, said the verdict should be thrown out. Maxwell's lawyers potentially could have objected to the man's presence on the jury on the grounds that he might not be fair to a person accused of a similar crime. And a Texas man has been convicted of storming the U.S. Capitol last year with a holstered handgun. It's a milestone victory for federal prosecutors in the first trial among hundreds of cases arising from last year's riot. A jury also convicted Guy Wesley Refit of obstructing Congress's joint session to certify the Electoral College vote on January 6th of 2021. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil.